Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. I remember years ago when I was in high school or in middle school, I had a certain group of friends, and they were just like everybody else in many respects, and I liked them. We were buddies. And years later, in a few cases, I found out that these friends of mine were actually Christians. I didn't know that in school, but later I found they were Christians. And in some of their cases, they were absolutely no different than anybody else in the world. They lived the same, they talked the same, they acted the same, they did the same things as people who were lost. That is often really not a good thing. But this is how they were. But then there's that group of people, and you could recognize them in school, because they were different. These people had a standard in their life. These people had goals. These people had an orientation that was different than everybody else's. You could tell about these people that their life was going to take them somewhere, even though they were just in school. Right now, off the top of my head, I could give you the name of at least five of these people that you could look at them and see, this person is going somewhere. This person is going to amount to something. And then you find out they are also amongst the Christians. There was a very clear-cut difference between the ones I never knew were Christians, who were just like the rest of everybody else who was lost, except that they were not. And then there was this group of Christians who really stood out. You were almost intimidated to talk to them because they had their act together so well. And you're like, how do they do that? Well, the difference is here in Psalm 119. In verse 152, it says, of old, and I'm reading in the Amplified Version because it brings it out the best. Of old have I known your teachings, and for a long time. Therefore, it is a thoroughly established conviction that you have founded them forever. And then in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, but the just shall live by faith, by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, and the holy fervor born of faith and conjoined or put together with it. What was the difference? Well, it tells us right, it was conviction. Certain people had convictions and others did not. We need to have convictions. Guys, learn to have convictions. You already have some. You may not even recognize that you do. But in everything, learn to have convictions. Don't try to live your life without convictions. Convictions are one of the most important and beneficial things you can possess. They will help you perhaps more than anything else. Learn to have convictions. Now, if you ask people what convictions are, they will often say, well, it's the things you don't want to do. That's only partly true. That's actually a fairly weak definition. They see it as a line you don't want to cross. Convictions are not a line that you don't want to cross. The problem with that thinking is this. If there's a line and you say, okay, this is the line that I don't want to cross, often what will happen, and you see this a lot in high schools, people will run up to the line. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever tried to run up to a line? Maybe a finish line. You're in school and you're running up to a finish line in gym. Have you ever done that? And you're running full speed to the line. Could you ever stop at the line? When I was a kid in gym, I could never stop on the line. If I was running full speed, in order to stop, I would have to pass the line. And that's what's wrong with this mindset that convictions are a line you don't want to cross. Because it implies that you can run up to the line, just so long as you don't cross the line. Well, the problem is you're not able to run up to the line without crossing the line. You can't stop at a line. And so these people who say it's a line you don't want to cross, they don't really get what convictions are. Convictions are not a line. Convictions are a way of thinking. The Word of God says in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. It's saying have God's mind. Have God's thoughts. That's convictions. When you have the thoughts of God, you have convictions. Because if you have the thoughts of God, you will know what to do and what not to do. You won't need people to tell you how to act or how to do things or what you should do. That won't be necessary at all. You already will have the thoughts of God. And by thinking with God's thoughts, you'll have all the answers you need. You may be in a situation where you don't know what to do, but you'll know how to handle that because you have the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God will give you direction. That's convictions. Now, the Word of God says in Psalm 119:105, that God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm got to go through life. I don't have that option. I have got to go through life. God gave me a life to go through. That was His gift to me, and I'm going to walk through life. How am I going to do it? What decisions am I going to make? Folks, you're always going to have decisions to make. You're constantly deciding. Some decisions seem very simple. Well, do I want regular milk or chocolate milk? Well, okay, it doesn't much matter whether you have regular milk or chocolate milk. The decision is entirely yours. And God says, have whatever you would prefer that day. But other things become much more important. For example, do I become friends with this person or not? I kind of wonder about this person. What should my relationship be to them? Or other types of decisions that can make very important differences in our lives. Well, that's where convictions come in. Convictions are knowing how to think with God. And when I know how to think with God, it'll show me where to go and how to get there. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, you will live by every word of God. You're not going to live by the natural things. You're going to live by the Word of God. How many of you guys have wanted to do what feels good? Has that ever happened to you? I want to do what feels good. Well, that's normal, but it's not always smart. Sometimes doing what feels good can get you in a whole lot of trouble. It can cause a whole lot of problems. For example, eating a lot of chocolate can feel good, but it can also make you very heavy. And so that can cause you problems even though it feels good getting there. What the Word of God will do for you, it's not that it's going to tell you what feels good and what doesn't feel good. Do this even though it doesn't feel good. It's not like that. What the Word of God will do for you is it'll make the right things feel good. Not that you should live by your feelings, live by the Word. But do you know what feelings are? Number one, it's hard to get a hold of our feelings. It's hard to get a grasp on them. It's hard to really even understand them sometimes. But the other thing is, our feelings are not capable of thought. Our feelings only respond to thought. So what that tells us is that the way we think changes how we feel. If you're thinking God's thoughts, you'll have God's feelings. If you're thinking your own thoughts according to the old sin nature, then you're going to have the old sin nature's feelings. Which one do you think is going to work better for you? or God's feelings. God never gets like discouraged. God never gets bored. God never gets sad in that respect that like people do. God's feelings are much better than our feelings when we have them without God. The Word of God will give you God's feelings. If here's something that you know is right with God, but your feelings are saying, oh, I don't want to, then you know that your feelings aren't responding correctly. So don't listen to them. If you have the Word of God and you're accustomed to having the Word of God, then your feelings are actually going to be very healthy. And you're going to feel much better than without the Word of God. The Word of God is what helps you get really good, healthy feelings. They're called emotions. And you want them to be healthy. Well, the thing about the Word of God is when I live by every Word of God, it protects my feelings. When I don't live by every Word of God, initially, at first, it may feel like it's going to be a good thing, but then it turns out to be a very difficult thing, and I'll feel terrible about it. And so you really want to be careful to live by every Word of God. It protects you. Well, that's convictions. Living by the Word of God comes because you have the mind of God. You have the thoughts of God. The Word of God becomes the way that you think. It's not difficult. It's actually very easy. And it feels a whole lot better than not doing it that way. Some of the basic convictions, often people think the basic convictions are to not sin. Well, that is only one, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. Yeah, you don't want to sin. That is absolutely true. If it's sin, don't do it. It's not going to be a happy outcome. So if it's sin, don't go there. Have that as a conviction. But there's other convictions also. For example, love. People don't often think of love as a conviction, but it is. Have a conviction that God loves you. Like, be confident and stand in it and be firm in it and have some guts in it. Also have a conviction about love. Have a conviction about being patient and kind because God is patient and kind toward you. Have that as a conviction. Because God is extremely patient and kind toward you, have it as a conviction. Grace is another thing. The most practical way that grace is shown is through kindness. Have it as a conviction. God is going to be kind toward you. You live in the kindness of God. You live in grace. God is going to be kind toward you. Have a conviction about expressing the kindness that He has. Forgiveness. If you make a mistake, have a conviction that you're forgiven. That God will not hold it against you. That God won't even remember it, that His blood cleanses you from all sins. Have a conviction about it. You make a mistake, God will forgive you. You can be confident in that, but then also have a conviction about forgiving people. If somebody does something toward you, don't wait for them to apologize. That's not going to do you any favors. We forgive people for our sake, not for theirs. So have a conviction about forgiveness. It's one of the most important things there is in relationships, is forgiveness. It's one of the most important things in your relationship to God, is the fact that He forgives, and He forgives immediately. There's another one, mercy. Mercy is expressed most commonly through patience. It's when God doesn't give us the negative things we may deserve. Well, have a conviction about mercy. God will always be merciful to you. But then have a conviction about being merciful also. Or soul winning. Jesus came so that the lost people of the world could get to know Him so they can end up in heaven rather than in hell. Have a conviction about telling people about Jesus. You have friends, but you don't want your friends in hell. You want your friends in heaven because you care about your friends. Jesus came and he wins souls. That was his number one thing in the world. He won souls. And so have a conviction about telling people about Christ. Here's the thing. We are representatives of a kingdom. We're not representatives of an idea. We are representatives of a kingdom. Just like if you visit another country, and maybe you're the American ambassador, you're representatives of America in another country if you're the ambassador. Well, God calls us ambassadors. Have a conviction about that, that you're going to represent God's kingdom properly, and part of that is soul winning. Part of that is allowing people to see Christ in you. Have a conviction about purity. You know what purity is? When you do with your body the things God said to do, and you don't do with your body the things God says not to do. That's purity. So that means things like drugs. You don't do them. God says don't do it. That's a part of purity. That means that you don't allow people to touch your body in ways that are inappropriate. You know what's okay? If a swimsuit covers it, you don't let anybody touch it. Simple as that. Unless they're a doctor and you need medical help. If a swimsuit covers it, it's nobody's place to touch it. They may pat you on the back and that's fine. But if a swimsuit covers it, nobody can touch it. It's that simple. Because God said not to. Well, that's purity. That's a part of purity. Smoking is another thing. People will go and smoke, and God says, you don't do things that will harm your body. That's a part of purity. Purity is very important to God because you are God's home. Your body is His house. And He's very concerned with what you do with His house. So have a conviction. Have God's thoughts about your body or receiving the Word of God. Some people will receive the Word of God on Sunday morning only. Some people won't even receive it then. But God says we need it more than we need to eat. Have a conviction about receiving the Word of God. The Word of God is your strength. People who are weak, in other words, they're emotionally unstable, people who have a hard time with everything. You ever meet anybody who has a hard time with pretty much everything? They're always confused. They're always upset. They never know what to do. That's a person who doesn't get the Word of God enough. Have a conviction about receiving the Word of God. Here's another one. Have a conviction about what Jesus did on the cross for you. That's one of the most important things ever. Have a conviction about it. Don't let there be any ambiguity. Be certain. Be confident. Know it for sure. What Jesus did on the cross for you. Have that as a conviction. Thinking with God needs to be a conviction. In other words, there's no option to this. I don't have a choice not to do it that way. And it's not because it's a line. It's just the way that I think. Because I'm thinking correctly. You always want to learn how to think correctly, and that results in proper convictions. In Jeremiah 6:16, the Word of God says, this is what God says. That's how it starts. This is what God says. Stand in the ways of God and see. And ask for the old paths. There's your convictions. Ask for the old paths where the good way is. And walk in it. And then you'll find rest for your souls. You walk in convictions and it becomes a very peaceful existence. It becomes a very peaceful life. The people who have a good conscience, they don't feel any guilt about anything. They have convictions. The people who don't fear, those people have convictions. The people who have confidence, those people have convictions. That's the good path, is convictions. And when you have convictions, that will produce peace in your life. It's kind of simple. How many people want to have all kinds of troubles and misery, anxiety, stress? How many people enjoy stress? Show hands. I love stress. If you do, you need a psychologist. No, you have convictions. You guys understand? That's it for today.